You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Across the state of Oregon, there is a vulnerable population of thousands of children who are in desperate need of foster homes and the care of responsible, loving adults. Some are in need for a short time, while others have long-term needs. Here in the Rogue Valley, there's a severe shortage of foster parents to meet the needs of this population of children in our own backyard. Joining me in the studio to explain the challenges and what you can do to help is Duncan Mackin. He's the Resource Parent Recruitment and Retention Champion with the Oregon Department of Human Services Child Welfare Division for Jackson and Josephine Counties. Welcome to the Exchange, Duncan.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
If you have a business card, you're going to need one the size of a postcard.
That's pretty much what it looks like.
So help me understand your role at the Oregon Department of Human Services.
Yeah, absolutely. So my team and I across the state promote recruitment of foster families throughout all of state of Oregon. And it's not just resource families, it's also respite providers. So for those of you listening, respite providers are short-term caregivers to help out with our foster families. So it's giving them a much needed break.
Okay, and what are resource parents?
So resource parents are, in fact, foster parents. A few years ago, the state of Oregon decided to change the name to resource parent rather than foster parent. But most folks know the term foster parent, so I'll probably be intertwining the two throughout our time.
What was the thought process behind changing that name?
Yeah, sort of. It was the idea of wanting to start a sort of turn a new page. A lot of folks find the term foster parent to have sort of a negative connotation over the years. And so the idea of changing the name to resource parent sort of kind of revitalized this idea that we still need foster families or resource families to help support our children in care.
Okay, so we're going to call them resource parents.
Yes, absolutely.
And then you have respite parents.
We do have respite providers, yes. Okay. And so a few years ago, state of Oregon decided to formally roll out its official respite program. And before it was sort of an informal respite program, it was up to our resource families to say, hey, I need a break, and they would reach out to somebody that they know or another resource parent. It was very messy. And the state of Oregon listened, and we heard our resource families, and we created a full respite program. And so now I also recruit for respite families as well.
Okay, so let's talk about your recruitment. How does that work?
That's a fantastic question. Recruitment is a very broad stroke term, actually. It's anything from being out in the community at community events, tabling with other community partners like Family Solutions, Kairos, Family Nurturing Center. And it can be here talking to anybody about who wants to listen. We have everything from commercials, you know, just standard recruitment as well. We also partner with a nonprofit agency called Every Child Oregon. They're sort of our nonprofit counterpart to the state of Oregon, and they also help promote recruitment of resource parents and respite providers as well.
Okay, so describe the problem that you're trying to resolve.
Yeah, absolutely. To say we are in need of resource parents is an absolute understatement. Resource families are an amazing group of people. It's one of the most selfless jobs you can probably do. I don't even necessarily consider it a job, but it's a selfless life. And it's hard work, but it's good work. And so, you know, there are many different reasons why resource parents decide to stop fostering. I think the biggest reason for that is actually case closure. So either a child that they had in their care either returns to their parents at a successful reunification, or whether that would be, or they end up having some level of permanency with their child, with that child in care, whether that be a guardianship or a possible adoption. And then at that point, sometimes they might not have the space to continue to foster. Now, there's many different reasons for it, but we need more foster families, especially for actually ages 13 to 18 is sort of our largest demographic of children that need homes.
Those teenage years.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And so when you say those children that need homes, how many are we talking?
Oh, that's a good question. It definitely fluctuates. So I service both Jackson and Josephine counties, which is sort of our larger district. We call it District 8. And it varies. I can tell you that currently we have a relatively low number of resource families and respite parents in compared to, let's say, 5 years ago. I think nationwide as well, there has been a slight decline over the past 5 years or so of certified resource families. And what that looks like is there's always a need. So I work with my certification teams in both Jackson and Josephine County, and every time they get a call being like, hey, we need to place a child into community foster care, it's a mad dash. I see it daily. Both counties have done a fantastic job of keeping children in a safe and stable environment, even if that means being put into foster care. But sometimes we don't. If we're unable to find a community placement by the end of the day, we have to put a child into what we call temporary lodging. And temporary lodging is where we place a child and employees into a hotel until we are able to find a community foster placement or a relative or possibly a higher level of care. Technically, every time we do that, we break the law. We do that in essence to counteract our – there was a lawsuit around this a couple of years ago, and so we do everything in our power to prevent that from happening. And so Jackson and Josephine counties have a – like I said, our employees are absolute fantastic humans, and they were able to more often than not keep those children outside of temporary lodging. Every once in a while it does happen, but not for very long.
So you need a larger reservoir – of resource parents.
Yes, absolutely.
That when you have these challenges, you don't have to go to temporary lodging. You can then go into your reservoir and find the right fit.
Absolutely,
and
yes.
You only have a limited amount of time to do that.
Exactly. And in an absolute perfect world, we would love to be able to placement match. So say, for example, finding a family that only wants to take teens and we have a teenager that comes into care. We would absolutely love to find the best placement for that child should that child come into community care. That's always been our wish list for years. And it very seldom truly happens. I mean, we end up trying to find those the best spots that we can. But sometimes it's working with just what open homes we have.
My guest is Duncan Mackin. He's the Resource Parent Recruitment and Retention Champion with the Oregon Department of Human Services Child Welfare Division for Jackson and Josephine counties. Again, that's a mouthful. Now, we talked about the reservoir of parents or resource parents that you need. I'm not sure if we put a number to that, but what is the pool of youth, whatever ages they are, that you're dealing with that really need to be placed?
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you that the older a child gets, the harder they are to place, and it has absolutely nothing to do with them. That's why we sort of mentioning before that age 13 to 18 range has always been a hard placement type. And it's not just for Jackson or Josephine counties. It's across the state of Oregon and, in fact, across the United States. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. Some resource parents who are currently fostering don't necessarily always have teenager experience. And so there's a lot of unknowns when dealing with a teenager. I mean, we were all teenagers once, at least most of us listening, hopefully. And we grow at such an exponential rate during those years that there's so many unknowns to that. And so that has really been a lot of it. So the younger the children are, generally speaking, they are easier to place.
What's the average time that once a child is placed, that they'll stay there?
That's a fantastic question. Child welfare, the life of a case at child welfare varies greatly. I almost visualize it like it being a tree. So you actually have the base and then coming up into the branches. There's so many different avenues that a case could go. No two cases at child welfare are alike. So we could have, if you're interested in becoming a resource parent, and let's say you go through the process, become certified, and we give you a call, you could have a child as short as one night. You could get a call and be like, hey, are you able to take a 5-year-old? You could have a short, you could have a child as short as one night, and then other times it could be years or more. There's so many different avenues. I should say that our first and foremost, our main goal at Child Welfare is always reunification. So we will always try to push for our biological family to going through this case process to get their children back. So, and that really just depends on where they are at in the case and where the state of Oregon is at in their case. So it could be as short as one night, and it could be as long as years or potentially longer. Once again, there is a small amount of folks. We don't always like to necessarily say this when it comes to recruitment, but this does get asked relatively often as to, well, what about adoption or guardianship? So at the end of the day, we still want permanency for our children in care. If it comes to a point where we have to look at, say, for example, our foster or our resource families for long-term care, then that can be an option as well.
Okay, so it seems to me that one of the challenges of this whole system is the mental, emotional, and physical stability of the child.
Yes.
Because if you've got a 13-year-old kid, the kid is pulled out of school.
Yep.
He's pulled out of that learning process mm-hmm. that they were familiar with, and then tossed into this sea of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
And no one knows the time frames. No one knows the outcomes. And meanwhile, days or weeks or months or, as you said, perhaps years are passing by. How does the child continue on that learning continuum during that process?
Absolutely. That's actually a fantastic question. More often than not, we at the state of Oregon try to keep any child that comes into care into their school of origin. We try to keep them going to that school. Sometimes school can be the only constant throughout this entire case process. With the exception of certain, well, I would say within some exceptions, we try to keep those children within their schools. Resource parents in particular have this rather uncanny ability to provide stability for a child that doesn't necessarily have it, whether that be prior to child welfare involvement or even throughout that case process. That's one of the things that really sort of hits home when being a resource parent in particular is recognizing that at the end of the day, that child hopefully will go back to their biological family. But I've heard stories over the years of resource parents that have been fostering for 10, 15, 20 years, and they're still in contact with their adult, children who went through their home, sometimes even coming in every single Sunday for Sunday dinner. Yeah. And so it's about building those long-term relationships. It doesn't always happen, but even though a child was successfully reunified with their biological family, some children who entered the system still see their resource parents as a sign of support throughout their entire life.
Well, I can imagine because during that traumatic time, here's these loving people who are sacrificing their time and their energy to pour that love into this person. That could be transformative.
Absolutely.
For a lifetime. Tell me about the application process. We've got about maybe 2 minutes at the most.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So if anyone listening out there who is interested in becoming a resource parent or a respite provider, foster.oregon.gov is our resource parent sort of homepage. That will give you sort of a brief overview of what I've talked about. My contact information is actually at the bottom of that page. You can
foster.oregon.gov.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you're sponsoring a Q&A with the organization Every Child at Living Waters Church on October 25th. Tell mm-hmm. me about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fantastic event. We just had one in Grants Pass a few weeks ago. It's open to the public. Anyone that's interested in wanting to know about fostering or the respite process, they can come down. And we'll be hosting a resource parent and a respite panel, and we'll be hosting a Q&A as well.
Okay, that's good to hear. Thanks, Duncan.
Thank you so much.
My guest was Duncan Mackin with the Oregon Department of Human Services.